Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertrucking, a podcast where Cybertruck owners share their experiences, talk about all things electric vehicles and technology. My name is Eric. We have Chase and we have Will.
So,
how are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good.
So it's been a busy few days, I would say, in the Cybertruck world. Obviously, we have to, I think, start with the biggest news, and that is, drum roll. I need that soundboard, you know?
Yeah, we'll just do it for you.
Yeah. And that is, the new wheel covers are still indenting the tires.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Set up and release.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So apparently the new wheel covers that are coming with the new deliveries of Cybertrucks are still rubbing into the sidewalls of the tires, apparently.
And notice he said his tire pressure is like 47, so it's not like he's like running this at low tire pressure,
yeah,
at 30 or 25 or something. Yeah,
no, not at all. So that's a little frustrating, just because recently, or what was it, a few days ago, I received an email stating that the wheel covers were back in stock. And I can purchase them. And so I know I sent this picture.
That's right.
I sent this picture to you guys. And I went, wait a second. Aren't I supposed to get these for free? Why do I have to purchase them?
You're like, he's about to charge me twice. Swear to God.
So that was a little frustrating. But obviously, and they went back on that. And they said, no, sorry. That was an error. We weren't supposed to put that out in the inventory. We're going to be able to, we need to get those out to Foundation Series owners first. So that's a good thing. They took it off. They put it as out of stock online. But the concern is, if it's still rubbing into the sidewall, does Tesla know this? And are they going to hold back all of those wheel covers, recall them again, and now everyone's going to have to wait for the next new design? I'm not sure. I mean,
it's like we're quite literally forcing a square arrow cover down a round hole.
Yeah.
Put it the least.
Yeah.
My that's thing an, is like arrow covers an, are still not here officially for a lot of people like yourself. I wouldn't have had them. You know, I'm sure Will wouldn't have had them either. Yet people are shipping with them. Like,
I would have had no wheels left. All the lug nuts would have been gone from mine. I didn't even need the covers at that point.
Yeah. So it's my issue is just the logistics of all this. And I think the flub up with the email just kind of nails that on the head right there.
That's kind of where I was going with it. It just seems like the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. It's just
100%.
It's kind of all over the place. And at the end of the day, forget the email and forget, them having to, put it out of stock or any of those issues. It's just more of if it's still rubbing into the sidewall, how long are we going to have to wait? Because they recalled these back in February,
originals. It was before we even got our trucks.
And,
actually, before I got in mine, because you had already gotten yours. And I think, Will, you didn't have your aero caps at all, right?
I never got them. No. Never had them.
Yeah, and I think Will took delivery like a week after I did. So I was right there on that line. So, if we're at 9 months or so since deliveries and people are still waiting for theirs, and if they're going to delay it again, who knows? I'm not sure. But as of right now, as far as I know, if you're taking delivery of a new Cybertruck, you're getting the new wheel covers. So hold on to them, because, they might be less of a collector's item as mine, I would hope, but it might be something that you can
say. What are the eBay prices right now still?
I haven't looked into it, but yeah, I know that
there was they're already accustomed to just paying people off with the PowerShare hardware or whatnot. It's like, just give everybody, be like, sorry, we're never going to do them. Here's $200. Just here's the money back. Go buy covers, get other wheels, whatever you want. Sorry.
Well,
give up.
Yeah. Waves of Life is in the chat right now, and that's exactly what he's saying. They say, just give me a $75 voucher and I'll just skip the wheel covers.
100%. I feel like the wheels look way better without them. Unless there's some significant range improvement or argument to be made for them, I'm like, you don't need them.
I mean, that was one reason why we went, with the T-Sports, because they too had that arrow cap, which kind of, I didn't get the test, but really should have done the same thing. The biggest issue that you'd get performance from is the Pirellis. Like, if you switch to the street tires, you should get much, much better performance. The ETs are still going to be just about the same at performance.
So it's funny that you bring that up. One of my buddies called me on Saturday. They picked up their Cyber Beast, and they kind of had to go to a further service center than they wanted to go to. When I was talking to them on the phone, they were really telling me how they got, I think, three different VIN numbers throughout the process. They were issued one VIN number, and then because they had originally ordered the Cyber Beast with the Tactical Gray and the street tires, and then Tesla reached out and told them, hey, here's a VIN number, but it has, I think, the white interior. And they said, no, I want the gray. And they said, okay, well, we have a gray, but it's going to have the all-terrain tires. And they go, no, I don't want all-terrain tires. I want the street tires. And so they got three different VIN numbers. Long story short, they were calling me on their drive home, and it was like a 45-minute hour drive. And they were almost home, and they were telling me how they got the street tires. And I asked them, what's your, you know, watt hours per mile? And it was in the 300s. And so
significant.
I did the math, and I think they were around 380 or 385 miles on a full charge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just on that initial drive. So, and they were saying that they were driving about 75 miles per hour. So, I mean, that's a huge, huge difference, you know, and I know we've talked about that some on the podcast, but I'm excited to do a video with them hopefully soon to really put that to the test. But that's amazing if you're going to be getting close to 400 miles of range on the street tires.
Yeah. So maybe just the need for the aero caps is just aesthetics at this point, because I don't think there's going to be that much of an improvement with the AT tires. And if you really wanted the aero, then yeah, like you said, just go with the Pirellis.
Yeah. If you're looking, and that's what I told them, because they asked me about a week or 2 weeks ago, hey, what do you think I should do, when the service center was asking about the all terrains or street tires. And I said, if you're going to do off-roading, then even just light off-roading, then get the all-terrains. But if you don't care about any of that and you just want maximum range, then go with the street tires. And they're like, yeah, I just want all the range I can get. So
100%.
I advise them to do that. And, you know, they're very happy with that. So that's great. So
I mean, you can jump up in the ATs. That's fine too. Or if you really want to go off-roading, get the Falcons. Those are really nice.
Well, I think that's what they kind of went with. They said, mm-hmm. I think what I'm going to do is go with the street tires, and then possibly later buy a whole new set of tires and wheels for off-roading, if that's something I end up doing. And I'm even thinking about doing the same thing with my truck, going and getting street tires and another set of rims or wheels, and, you know, swapping them out. If I know I'm going to go on a long road trip, put the street tires on. If I know I'm going to go do some off-roading or adventures or whatever, camping, then put the
off-road. Or if you're towing. Falcons. I think the street tires with towing, I don't think we've really seen any deep dives into that yet.
Mm.
No.
All that we've seen is people have the Pirellis and we're like, yeah, getting them way up higher than 310, 320.
Yeah. Well, you just gave me a video idea. So thank you, Chase.
Yeah, there you go. Especially, yeah, if you're towing or you don't really need to go off-road, it's perfect. Perfect for that. I'm really curious now to see eventually if we hear any news about the battery, the extended range. Because that's where it really would start to kind of get really interesting as far as like price point. And I know we talked about like different trucks that I was eyeing initially. One was the GMC Denali, which has got a range of like, what, 450, 440, something like that. And Cybertruck with an extender on Pirelli tires sounds like it could get easily up to that, if not more.
Yeah. It's getting awfully close. It does make that argument to where why pay $16,000 for a range extender when you could just swap out the tires and wheels? You know, yeah, maybe you don't get the 120, 150 miles that the range extender's supposed to give you, but it's a lot cheaper. And if you're getting close to that 400 mile range, that might just be enough.
The range extenders don't exist at this moment. Like, nobody's done them yet for any Cybertrucks anywhere. I feel like that's been a point. This is like nobody's talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, that those installations should be coming up. Isn't the delivery supposed to be January 2025?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
What if they discover some new changes they can implement or something?
Quiet delays.
And I mean, if you really want to get crazy, you get the range extender and you put street tires on, and now you've got 500 plus. I mean, now, now you're talking, you know, now, now you're onto something. So, and
which, then I wonder if that was the plan from the beginning, because they were toting the 500 range anyways. And maybe they knew that this was going to be the end game. It's just, they didn't at least talk about it. Cause like, it would have been nice that when they came out with it, it'd be like, hey, here's the Foundation series. We have the AT tires on it. But the Pirellis, you can get 380, and then when you put the extender, you can get up to whatever 480. Like, whatever it is, they should have just been open from the beginning. I feel like we're trying to milk it out of them like a cow.
Well, if that just was the case, we wouldn't have any milk.
We'd be
eating our cookies with no milk. Well, yeah, it wouldn't go too well for us, you know. And it's funny because I get a lot of people, you know, my son plays travel basketball, so there's a lot of parents and family members there that they know me as a Cybertruck dad. And so they'll come up to me and they'll ask me questions about Tesla and all that type of stuff. And a lot of these people are new into Tesla, or they want to get into Tesla. And once they do, they kind of come to me and they go, hey, you know, I don't get a lot of information from them. They kind of just like, boom, here it is. And I go, yeah, that's Tesla. That's why you need to tune into the podcast, because where your information. It's crazy. Even my friend that took delivery of the Cyber Beast, he was telling me, he goes, that's why he had to drive far. He goes, they literally told me, okay, the one that you want, it's out here an hour away. You need to come pick it up. Let's just say it was Saturday, right? So you need to come pick it up on Saturday. If you don't come by Monday, we'll give it to somebody else.
Jeez.
And he was just like, what? Okay.
Well,
you say so.
Interesting you bring that up, because I saw a video that I was going to share with you guys earlier, but I'm like, I'm not really sure the legitimacy of this, but someone shared it on X of someone like talking to an owner in his Cybertruck and was trying to ask about his delivery. And he's claiming that he had to pay an extra $5,000 to get it earlier. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, this doesn't pass the sniff test. But if that's good, that's the crazy thing. Maybe someone at a delivery center scammed him. But it doesn't make any sense. Like, Tesla wouldn't charge you more to get it earlier. Like, that's not been the case at all.
And that would be huge news.
Unless that's his way of explaining away that he didn't have a reservation. He bought one for $5,000 or something. That's about what those reservations were going for back in those early VIN number days. People were straight up offering, hey, I'll sell you my reservation, you know, for $4,000, $5,000.
Yep.
Well, still are. Like, I've jumped on eBay to check out those aero caps. By the way, the highest bid right now is about $1,500. There you go. If you're looking
up. So they've lost some value.
They lost some value. But the other thing, like, versus that is literally people selling reservations for $5,000, $1,000, $300, $400, $7,000. Like, selling reservations.
Yeah.
So he must have just, like, thought that that was the way you get it and didn't realize you could just put in an order and have in 2 weeks.
That would explain it.
Well, don't get the Cyberstuck guys. Don't let them know about that.
Don't let them know about that.
The second thing they hear about, you know, Tesla or someone at Tesla charging extra $5,000, upcharging it, going over MSRP, then it, you know, it's going to turn into a whole thing. Not like the Ford Broncos aren't marked up $50,000 a couple years ago.
But that gives me an idea, though. I think so. Wait, we're spoken for, because next week we're going to do the pod on 1010 and live commentary. Mm-hmm. I think that maybe for fun for Halloween, we should open up a Google Voice line and let people contact us from Cyberstuck. And we go into Cyberstuck and make an announcement, be like, hey, we talk about Cybertruck, we talk about a lot of stuff. You know, we try to be as unbiased as we can, but we're owners or former owners, you know, stop by if you want to have a dialogue about it. Otherwise, I expect a whole lot of, you know, dick and fart text messages or whatever.
Do you often stick your hand in bees nests?
Yeah.
Yes.
For fun?
Yes.
Well, you know, we're talking about
it. I blame it on the TISM.
Let me show you guys. Let me show you guys something. So this was, I came across this in the Cyberstuck last week. And this guy openly says that he saw a Cybertruck this morning and he flipped it off.
In his Toyota Highlander.
In his 2023 Highlander.
It just goes back to it.
That just seems like somebody who's like drinking Michelob Ultra flipped off somebody else, or like having a foreign beer in their hand or something. Like, they're just like, piece of shit, honey, let's go get back in the foreign. You know?
Well, I think it's because it's so new still. It's like,
God damn it.
this, it's giving them more fuel to feel like it. But once the Cybertruck, literally, like, we're pumping out, what, 2,500 a week.
Yeah.
Give it another year. This is going to be another F-150, yeah. You know?
Exactly. Their middle fingers are going to be so tired. They're just all day. They're going to have to drive around like this. Just, honey, where are we going? Oh, we're going over there. We're going to go over there next. And, you know.
Well, even, what was it? Even just a few weeks ago, I still saw the same meme of that went around early on. They're like, oh, whoever you see in a Cybertruck, because they've only sold 7,000 of them, you know who the town asshole is. It's like, okay, yeah, I get it. But no, they're ramping up production. It's here
I'm
now.
I'm seeing more of them. I'm seeing more of them in my neighborhood, my neck of the woods. I mean, you see some cars here and there because we're kind of on the thoroughfare between Vegas and LA. So every once in a while, there was a Lamborghini Urus behind me on the road earlier. I'm seeing more of them in the Lowe's parking lot or coming out of Costco or driving back, around the, they're going to start just being around, and I just imagine that's going to be an awful place to be in those people's heads where they're just like, oh, there's Cybertrucks everywhere.
They're going to give themselves boxes, a heart attack.
What? You know?
Yeah. In Austin, it's almost every day. Every time we go out to drive, we're going to run into at least one.
Yeah. I'm seeing them more and more, as you guys are well. And I'm sure everybody that's listening to this sees
Volkswagen literally helped the Nazis and you guys are mad at the Cybertruck. Come on, get a life.
Well, talking about helping each other. Or I thought you were
about
people, to be
like, talking about Nazis. Shit.
That was the segue that he's been waiting
for.
That
was a risky segue. Wow. Thank you, listeners, who stuck through that.
There goes demonetizing.
Starlink is offering free service for all of those who are affected by the hurricane. And that, as much as people want to say about Elon, he does a lot of this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Everything negative that he does or things that people perceive as negative, that makes the headlines. But not enough time. Do they give credit where credit is due? And time and time again, I've been following Elon and Tesla for years now, and this is something that they always do. There's always some type of help that they offer, whether that's here domestically or even overseas. They're constantly doing things like this. So I want to give them their kudos.
Elon's weird submersible thing, notwithstanding, when the kids were stuck in the cave and he was trying to help them out or whatever, or the divers, or I don't know what it is, but. They've always had a trend of every time there was a natural disaster either coming or had just happened that they'll make the superchargers all free, all throughout 100%. Town. Yeah. I mean, and it was one of those okay, it's unfortunate that gas powered vehicles don't have that option. Gas stations aren't just going to be like, it's free, good luck, that goes the opposite way. So the fact that, that's something that they always end up doing whenever there are things like this, it's always really great to see because this is technology. The omnipresence of technology, it's so readily available and so cost efficient that in times of need, we can be like, no, it's fine. Use it to get safe and get whatever, and we'll pick up the tab. It's always a great thing to see because you never saw it from Exxon. You never really, some of the cell companies, they set up towers and stuff like that, but not a lot of them are like, hey, we'll give you a discount,
Totally.
Well, and then you get this guy over here on the side that's going, sounds like a subscription promotion disguised as a climate disaster charity. So it just, you're always going to get those guys.
Yeah.
Each Starlink rocket launch adds more heat trapping gases to the atmosphere. Yeah. It's one goddamn rocket launch for that, literally lasts less than a couple of minutes. It's like, bro, that's not the big spender. It's large factories just pumping out carbon monoxide. There, solved it for you. It's not the goddamn rockets.
I think we talked about on the podcast a bit specifically about the Mini because of the price of the Mini, because I think now you can get a roaming price of $30 a month. We were talking about it. I don't know if it was before or after.
It was 50 a month, I believe.
50 a month. Still, I feel like it's a good insurance policy for a Mini, because I thought about it too. Like, being in Texas, obviously our power grid is something to be aware of. For various reasons. Yeah. In the case of, a natural disaster, we get hit with a direct hurricane this bad that hit directly this far inland. It would be the same case here, and having that communication is going to be key.
Yeah. It's 100%. So many of the cell phones or newer cell phones are going to have access to that same satellite technology. But right now, so people are lucky to have Wi-Fi calling. So if their data is somehow compromised, at a terrestrial level, it's like, yeah, it makes sense if you can have a cheap little backup. Like, I've still got my Starlink, my Gen 1 Starlink with the actual tracking, the tilt motor on it. Mm-hmm. And you can just turn it back on if you need it. And there was one time I lost internet for like 2 or 3 days, and I'm a nerd. I need the internet. So we went out there, popped it up, you know, it had work emails and stuff, but just pop it up and just have it in your back pocket. And yeah, mm-hmm. the Roam pricing, I mean, $50 a month, assuming that that's not under a contract, that's a great little security.
Yeah. And one more thing on the niceness, I guess, of Elon. The one thing I just realized or heard about recently is the NACS adapters that a lot of these newer vehicles are getting. He just gave those away to all these companies. So they're not like having a deal back and forth. They're just like, here's the adapter, take it, you know, use the network.
Well, it's beneficial to him, right? Exactly. You know, I'll give you, you know, how much do those cost in manufacturing? You know, not exactly. much. You know, they sell for a lot more because there's, you know, margin in there. But, you know, they make these things high mm-hmm. volume. They each unit doesn't cost all that much. I'll give them for free. And yeah, and you're going to now come to my superchargers and charge and pay me. Yeah, I'll give you them mm-hmm. all day. You know, it's totally. Like Halloween with candy.
I just hope that we can start scaling things to a point where we start to see. I've lived through watching the price at superchargers, Tesla and others, creep up into that zone of being like, okay, if you keep going up like this, in a year's time, the cost to charge per kilowatt hour, it's gonna be like a break even with gas cars. And that's part of the benefit is that it's like none of the other part of the stuff that goes into making gas, hardly any of that is necessary for generating electricity, at least through renewables and through other sources. So it's like the price of it should be going down at some point. And I hope that they can, that, you know, if they can stabilize it or at least get it to drop a little bit, it'd be great.
I think if they could get the speeds up like they have been talking about, especially with the Cybertruck that theoretically can handle it to a point where it's so convenient that they could charge extra for the convenience and speed, then they could split it out to be, okay, you charge for speed versus, because there's times where like I go to a supercharger and it's like, I have to kind of plan out my charge because I know it's not going to take me that long and be like 15 minutes, but it's like, okay, I'll do what I need to do, get food or whatnot, and then wait the 15 minutes at the charger. Rather than vice versa, because usually it's going to be done charging before I'm like done with the food and stuff. But I want the option of like a slower trickle charge.
I think the problem with that is they want you in and out. Yeah. Right. I think that's true. Because I've thought of the same thing, being able to choose your speed, because also that the faster it's charging, technically it puts more strain on the battery over the course of time, right? Of ownership. So you don't want to be at those maximum speeds all the time, and there's a lot of people that charge all the time at superchargers. So yeah, being able, I mean, there's times where I will go to a supercharger that charges only at 72 kilowatts because I don't have time. I don't need to, because this is right now I have free supercharging for a year, so I'm like almost exclusively charging at supercharger to save some money. And I'll find a charger that's, you know, that's going to be a little bit slower, and because I feel like that's going to be a little bit better on my battery over time. So,
right.
But I think at the end of the day, they want you in and out. So I don't know if they'll ever do that, but I see what you're saying, and I don't disagree with you. I would love to have that option as well.
I think that they're stuck behind the fact that it's like, okay, so at a certain point, you can only software code away only so much, because dealing with the amount of power discharging at one time in the kilowatts range with a variety of plugs and conditions of the battery or whatever it's receiving. I mean, all that equipment, it costs as much as it does because the metal and the conduction, you know, the way that they're assembled is already kind of established. And it's not like there's a lot of competition in redesigning wiring cabinets and, you know, effectively discharging, you know, there is now that more of the world's embracing EVs, but yeah, it's going to forever be one of those things where I don't think that they can really have fun with what they've created until they start to solve the problem of how do we support the charge rates that we're pushing for and have achieved with this very niche equipment. We need more, you know, we need more capability out of less, if you will, which may physically be possible. Cause I mean, that's literally just electricity. It needs the conductors that it does in the capacity that it needs. Ramble over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we move on, because we do have some big things we need to cover. One thing I wanted to share with the audience is, I know I've talked about it in the past, but Rove charging is a charging station, like a gas station for EVs. I've talked about it many times. Their first location is going to be opened up in Santa Ana on October 15th, and that's in California. Some news, hopefully I can get the, you know, concrete information, but what I'm trying to do right now is get Will and I to do the podcast on 10/15 from Rove at the grand opening, do it live there. I would hope at that point, you know, whoever's in Southern California that listens to us and watches us, if, you know, you guys are available, you guys can come down and meet us, and, you know, maybe we get Jay or some of the regulars on the live podcast and just kind of sit down and talk to them for a little bit. But I'm hoping to have that approval here soon, hopefully. But I wanted to share this with everybody because this is something I'm really looking forward to and hoping.
Show the pictures of this place. This isn't just like a normal charging facility. It's like somebody thought, okay, we're going to have people doing something with their cars for a longer period of time than a gas station. So let's do a gas station, but elevate it to make people want to stay there for longer. So yeah, you've got like a real functional little grocery store or whatever. I think that there was a car wash, you know, on the one side of the building. They have a common workplace. I'm sure they've got Wi-Fi, all that stuff. Yep. That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. That doesn't exist at a gas station, you know?
Exactly. Right here is where you can, it says right there, free Wi-Fi. There's a lounge area that you can sit there. They even have a bank of, I think right here on these windows, there's a bank of seats there with a little tabletop. So you can sit inside in nice air conditioning. And if you have your laptop or whatever, and you can still look out and still see your vehicle. Mm-hmm. Another thing that they're going to be doing is they're going to have 24/7 security at all times. So no more of the days of going to a supercharger and you're out in the middle of nowhere and you're all by yourself. There's going to be security at all times. They're going to have their supermarket. Yeah. You know, you can do some grocery shopping, like Will said. This is something I'm really excited
about. You mentioned the large windows. So people, if you hate Cybertrucks, you can come here and look out. And every time you see one, flip it off as it drives by. It'll be perfect.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think there's a Ford Lightning right there about to go into the car wash.
Yeah. You
know, Lightnings can go in car washes. They don't.
It's going to get – it won't get bricked. But it reminds me because, like, I mean, when I was driving more of a gas vehicle, I'm kind of more of a gas station snob. Anyone in the Midwest listening will understand what I'm talking about with Quick Trip. Quick Trip is very much like it's like a Buc-ee's of gas stations, but they're not like grand as Buc-ee's, but they like just focus on, hey, just clean bathrooms, cheap ice, and just a good experience. And anytime I'm on a road trip and I see a Quick Trip, I'll go out of my way to go to Quick Trip rather than a Citgo or a Shell or whatever, because I know it's going to be a better experience. And it's really cool to see that. I think more EV stations need to pop up like this, because I think people, even in my situation with like a Rivian R1S, I have the option of not going to a supercharger, or I can go to EVgo or wherever I need to go. But if I had the option to go to something nice like that, then I would choose that over a supercharger. If it's in a weird area, it's not convenient, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, 100%. The thing that gets me really excited is the fact that that's their first location, but they already have four other locations, I believe, in the works. You know, permits already being pulled and all that type of stuff, to where, you know, this is going to be something that, you know, I really believe over the course of the next 10 years is going to be the norm. You know, there's going to be many, many EV stations or charging stations or, you know, like a gas station type of thing on every corner. And that's really cool.
And I assume it's super, like supercharging levels, like 150 watt or kilowatt hours, right?
They have, and I'm trying to find it here, they're going to have a version 4 charging there.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Then yeah, I mean, that's
a win. I can't remember how many they're going to have, but they're going to have like 20 or 30 V4 chargers.
28 NACS and then 12 CCSs.
There you go. So nice.
And a pup pad as well. So you
can pull your dog out. 100%. So that's cool. And hopefully I will have that news, hopefully at the next podcast. And you know, hopefully they give us the approval and allow Will and I to wreak havoc at their new.
I think we need to be more forceful. Let's just tell the guys we're coming. We're going to do the podcast. So just get a chair for us. Like, all right, please
ask them if they want to be a sponsor.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I'm stoked. When you sent me that, I was like, this is the fun part. This is where like, hey, there's a charging station that's trying to break the mold of some other stuff. There's like no EV infrastructure that takes advantage of what the car is for the most part. People just think that they're just charging like the little charging pylon at the gym. You think you're at a fancy gym if it has one charger just for some reason, but it's there. It's like, it's been so sparse, but it's now so embraced. There's so many EVs out there. I want to see stuff like this. I want to see like a movie theater that has like charging at every spot. That's like, charge here for this much and validate, whatever. A drive-in. Oh my God. Like there are drive-in people own drive-in theaters and they're not doing anything with them. They're just real estate, just sitting there. You'd be like, hey, we'll come and clean the thing up and fit it out with some electricity. And it's a way better experience. You can keep the AC on. Your dad won't yell at you the whole time. What? No. I think that we went and saw Look Who's Talking. So that's how old I am. Drive-in theater. Look Who's Talking.
I can't even remember the last time I was at a drive-in, but I used to love going to drive-ins.
They are. It's awesome. And it should come back. We got these cars.
Yeah.
Well, especially now with these EVs, and all these setups and things that people are doing to them. The Cybertruck is perfect for it. You can, in the bed of the truck, put a mattress down or whatever and some blankets. And
Imagine once the cars start to support in-vehicle apps, either the Tesla in the head unit or the Rivian with the Chromecast feature. Imagine making it so that you can go and see the movie and, there's no doofy little box playing the audio from it. You can load an app that then basically live streams the audio into your cabin while watching the movie.
Actually, it's funny. When I had my F-150, we actually went to a drive-in up at Dallas it was a great little spot. I think I can't even remember it, but if you look in Fort Worth, you'll find it. But that's when I found out that my radio, if my truck was off, only had like a 30-minute like time limit. So every 30 minutes in the movie, I had to go back and like redo the key when we're sitting in the bed.
Oh my gosh.
But the cool thing about that is it was also a double feature. So we had two movies.
Oh no.
That's really cool.
Nice. We're pitching some solid ideas. We need some sponsorship. Come on, guys.
Tesla could do it and then just stream it straight to your TV in the Tesla. It could literally be like rain or shine.
Yeah.
I don't see how they can't do that. I mean, if they're able to make
They could do that, but I'm like, maybe it's just being a filmmaker for so long. It's like, if I go to a movie theater, I want to see something on a big goddamn screen. Yeah, I want like size matters. I want to see an absurd. I love going to see IMAX movies on the big curved screen. So, the point where you're just like laying back watching it for so long, that you're like, oh my God, I forgot where gravity is, Yeah. So I don't know. Tesla screen will do it. It's just,
Yeah, I agree. But like Chase said, if it's a rainy day and you want to still go and like we're saying, charge and watch the movie. But, the movie that your windshield's all, watered up, then you can stream it to your
or just drive the car to an actual movie theater at that point.
Or you can do that. But I don't see how they wouldn't be able to do something like that.
Anything's possible once they start seeing that opportunity for it. And when they build stuff like Rove, that's when that'll start happening. Necessity is the mother of invention.
It's one of those things. If you can get a car to drive itself, then why can't you do something like that? And that leads me to my next thing, which is, I think, why everyone's here. Let's talk about FSD. Hugo mentioned, once again, I want to say hi to everybody, Jay, Hugo, Bill, Waves of Life, Mark, LJ, who else is in here? Chris, I think I said Mark already, Fury's in here. So appreciate all you guys tuning in each and every week. But yeah, Hugo mentioned that today's big topic is going to be FSD, and you're not wrong, Hugo. FSD release, they kept their promise. Not in June, not in July, not August, but they said September, by the end of September, and at the very last hour, on September 30th, they wide release of FSD. I have received it as well. and it is out. And I'm sure there's a million videos already online. I'm editing my video. I filmed hours of FSD yesterday. So you could just imagine how long it's going to take me to edit that.
So just sum it up and ruin the video tomorrow. It's just how to do. How to do.
Well, I'm gonna show you, I'm gonna give you behind the scenes.
Cue up the tape.
I'm gonna get you behind the scenes of my videos. So
okay. It's also preface this with this is early access FSD. Yes. This is not. Yeah.
Yes, and I'm gonna in my video I talk about that, but I'm gonna show you some good and I'm gonna show you some bad. It is what it is. You know, we're unbiased and there are good and bad with FSD for the Cybertruck in my experience so far. So here, I'm going to go ahead and show you guys this video. Don't mind my leg.
Now I can't look at it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Why didn't you point it out?
But so one observation that I made that was a little uneasy was the fact that the Cybertruck tends to hug the left side of the lane that I'm in. It was doing it consistent throughout the whole drive. And like I said, I drove for probably 2.5 hours with FSD.
Okay.
And it really does hug the left side. I don't know why it's the left side. Doesn't do it to the right side. It could just be my Cybertruck. I don't know. But it's hugging the left side to the point where it will even go over the lines and into the other lane.
Yeah.
That was not...
I think that's a calibration issue.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. But it's just so, it's something that you don't want to see. So I'm going to go ahead and play this. You could talk.
Yeah. But did you notice on like a two-lane road as well as the highway?
It was mainly on the highway. I didn't experience that when I was driving on any city driving.
Okay.
It wasn't doing that. It was mainly at higher speeds. Right there you could see I'm going over the lines. Obviously, that's the carpool lane. So
my Rivian does that. Line.
Does it?
My R1S1 has 100% done that on a highway trip. It's crowded the left lane, and then even occasionally went over it on a straightaway. Not even like a curve where it didn't hit the turning correctly. Usually, the turning is fantastic. I find that this is kind of one of the things that I think a lot of autopilots do struggle with. Something to do with like the non-changing nature of the lane or something.
Yeah, I don't know exactly but it was doing it consistent. All of my highway driving, it was hugging that left side. It would go over. See, even right here, look how much it's over.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It was doing that a lot, and there was a few times where it crosses over. You can see that car how they went over. They actually changed lanes, I think, because they're looking at me going, "This idiot Cybertruck driver doesn't know what the hell he's doing." No, it's not
flipping
me.
You
it's
off
my
the whole time.
Yeah.
I swear. If you get sideswiped again because of this,
bro,
I would.
Bro.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
He would jump a truck again.
Jump it first, then flip it.
But that was one of the bads. There's other things, but I'll save that for my video. But then there's some positives. So let me show you. I went through a canyon, and in the canyon, there's some sharper turns, and I felt like it handled I thought the canyon drive was going to be the worst part of FSD.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case. It might have been the best driving for FSD. All of the turns, it handled it well, driving through the canyon, never at any points was it crossing over the lines or doing any of those things that it was doing on the highway. So, you know, I really did feel like the city driving was much better than the highway driving. It's not a big concern, like Will said. It's a calibration issue, you know, or fix. I'm sure they'll get that out fairly quickly because I'm probably not the only one that experienced that. One thing I did too, I don't know if you could see on the screen, I actually had bikes on the back of my truck, and I did that because I wanted to see if that affects FSD at any point.
Oh yeah,
given the fact that it's kind of obstructing the rear view. Yeah, and I didn't experience any of that. See right here, that big truck pulls over, and Cybertruck didn't jerk, it didn't swerve, it didn't do anything funny. Handled it really well.
A lot of people have been asking about that back camera. They're like, if you could even have FSD with the tailgate down. But if the bikes are obstructing and it's not having an issue, then maybe you could actually have the tailgate down and still do F.
I mean, the end goal is to have FSD still be, you could activate it while towing. Yeah. So if they can achieve it in some way that just doesn't require the behind the rear camera, because aside from backing up with it, when does FSD need it?
Mm-hmm.
So right. If you're in like a tow mode or, you know, go forward mode only, then yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. At first I was looking at this video and I was like, oh, maybe because you're following the truck in front of you that it was handling it well, but it's good here too. So that's great.
No, it handled the canyon really, really well. I was really happy with that. So that's my early impressions. Like I said, I'm doing the video, but those are two things that I can share that I want to share that it does hug that left side and it was doing it consistently,
mm-hmm.
you know, for myself, because I'm used to, you know, autopilot and that type of thing. It wasn't a big concern. I'm paying attention. You know, I understand it's early beta, all that type of stuff, or early version. So I don't get all upset about it, but I could tell you right now, if it was my wife or somebody that was new to Tesla and full self-driving, that would scare them because mm-hmm. it literally right. was going into the other lanes and
that's the know,
it comes back, but it shouldn't be doing that. So
I've maintained for a long time because I've been really kind of curious about where autopilot and everything was going. In my opinion, they'll have this stage achieved. I think that they'll be closer to the goal than others is if they basically pass like an autopilot Turing test, where I think if the vehicle can complete the same drive 20 times in a row in the same way without any considerable breakdown, even though, you know, there may be some issues along the path, sun's in a different place, tree limb fell down, whatever it is. If you can at least achieve that, and then have a person riding in the car the whole time who isn't concerned that there is, like, basically it has to be a human or better driver than to achieve that. And I think that'll be the main test for when they actually hit full self-driving. This is just reminding, like, watching the thing hug the lane. It just reminds me of like the early days of when you were able to turn on autopilot on city streets. It was terrible. And it, you know, it would freak out at cars parked on the side of the road. It would think that they're going to swerve in front of you and it's wrong, you know, and it's just evolved a whole lot. But it's like, man, that lane hugging thing, I don't know. Either I don't think it's a regression. I think it's more likely just calibration.
That's all it is. And like I said, the city driving was really, really good. Mm-hmm. And the highway driving wasn't bad. I just felt like it was hugging a lot and it could just be mine. I don't know, but it was hugging a lot and it did veer off into the other lanes. Multiple times, as you saw in the video, that car that was driving in that lane next to me, he even kind of swerved into the lane next to him because I was going in. You know, it'll get better, but hey, we got it, right? We have it.
Yeah,
now.
I think a lot of people, the general sentiment has been happy that it's here, even if it's early and it's there. But I think getting it out to the masses is going to be great because then they'll get the real data at scale that they need. But what you mentioned, the Turing test of FSD, that actually had a fun thought that I had of how you would do that. Like, you would have to almost take like 10 videos of driving through the city and all you see is through the front dash. That's it. Uh-huh. And then you sprinkle in 3 FSD drives and you have people say, spot the robo taxi.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. So you can't distinguish the two. I
put it off because it turns out I'm just not as motivated as I thought I once was. But it's like I was super interested in doing, like, knowing that they were doing this transition into FSD beta and then FSD, you know, download and now FSD supervised and all of the stuff that came before leading up to this. I had always thought about just like literally just shoot a video with your car doing the same drive, not something crazy, from your house to the grocery store a mile and a half away. Keep the rules, the barriers the same, and just do the drive 20 times and record it. And you know, compare all of them. And as FSD gets better, just do the same drive again, just with the new version of it. Because I think that you could build a really interesting catalog of exactly how much it's improved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's definitely going to improve. We know that. You know, it's not perfect right now.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're a long way away from being perfect.
It's going to bring you your McDonald's soon.
Well,
I don't know if you had that queued up, but that was a cool one.
Well,
too.
You know, he's learning from you, Chase. You know, you're teaching him. You're showing him. So
here we go. Chat's about to pop off.
Let's talk about cool. it. Yeah, Elon got very involved cryptic. Here. Yeah, so
I didn't realize he replied too. That's cool.
Yeah, he did. So, you know, McDonald's, you know, put out this tweet and, you know, it says 10-10 on there.
Mm-hmm.
Chat's about to pop off 10-10. Will has made some, would you say, predictions for
some
what 10-10
bold accusations, if you will.
And so I don't know if you want to cover that again, Will, and kind of give your idea of what you think is going to happen next week.
Yeah, honestly, I think that was if I'm just going to double down, which at this point, that's what you always do in Vegas. You always double down mm-hmm. when you can. You know, I called that picture last week of what looked like a Model Y where they like chopped into the B pillar and then removed the back and had some sort of a storage container or something. The color was kind of a yellow, wasn't it? Am I being right. colorblind? What?
It was yellow.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was yellow. Was it like McDonald's yellow?
It was like a butter yellow.
I think we should pull that image up ASAP. Anyway. Ever since I saw that moment, I was like, holy crap, like they're not ready for this. This is not FSD. Tesla's FSD is not pick up a passenger at A, drop them off at B capable yet. It just isn't there. It'll work a couple of times, but not so consistently that you can call it automation. It would just be jumping into a parlor trick.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they're holding this event, this robotaxi event, and I saw that vehicle, I was like, oh my God, that could easily be a storage area. That's more of a neon yellow. Yeah, I don't think that's the McDonald's mm-hmm. gold color. But they have that storage space, and it's like, what better way to validate your software on a larger scale and for profit beyond just individual drivers driving their own Tesla and using autopilot and disabling it, put these on the road, just doing courier runs.
Yeah.
And then obviously
Optimus in the road.
And then the last mile would be having Optimus. What a huge statement for Tesla as far as confidence and having, yeah. And then you have the logo mm-hmm. being We Robot. I'm like, I wonder if it's just going to be like food delivery, probably exclusively at first with McDonald's. And then eventually expand out to Uber Eats or whoever else.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, wouldn't that be crazy? The Optimus is now practiced at getting out of the car, walking up to your front door, placing it there, and getting back in the robotaxi and going back.
I wonder if the CEO of Uber saw all this coming. They're like, robotaxis. Oh no, it's gonna take over the whole like Uber business. And they're like, at least we got Uber Eats. And they're like, shit.
They're like, shit, they went for Uber Eats first.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Isn't that ironic? Yeah, they probably were shaking in their boots thinking, oh man, Uber's going to take a big hit. Well, no, Uber yeah. Eats is going to be the one that might take the big hit.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, this is obviously just like hearsay on top of hearsay, just turtles the whole way down. But I
think
feel like
to something.
Yeah. I feel like there's something there because, I mean, for McDonald's to do a 10-10, and what were the little details in that bag?
Zoom in because they did on the receipt. It's like not a Big Mac.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to
open
an image in a new tab. All right, here, zoom in. Enhance.
There is some details there that there are little hints.
Shit. Did everything just crash? No. I'm still here. Okay, good. Yeah, so you got special item coming to a chat near you, valid at a participating, blah, 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 telephone number, 10-10-2024 at 12 p.m. Not a Big Mac.
A medium Sprite.
See, that's a Tesla reference. Not a flamethrower. Not a Big Mac.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, you know.
Your medium fries and medium Sprite.
That's my order.
I'm not sure what the connection is. Thanks for your order, W's in the chat. I mean, wait, that's just nerd references, but.
Hold on.
What's that phone number again? 77.
Are we calling it?
Hey, oh, call shit. It. Call it on there.
Yeah, let's figure it out. All right.
Who are
so that number is from Google.
Uh huh.
Someone is saying text that number if you want to be the first to know what's coming up at McDonald's. And that's coming from
My phone is my camera, but if one of you guys want to do it.
Yeah, so this is actually a message directly from the senior marketing director of McDonald's is saying, hey, you should text this number. So 707.
There we go. See you guys.
932.
Should we all be texting this number? Right. Let me bust
just
out
say,
the whole,
yo.
Do the whole phone number thing. Elon shows up at your house now.
Did you text it, yo?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah. Just so glad you texted. Reply Y to get McDonald's recurring marketing and other texts.
Oh, here we go.
Did I fall for this?
Yeah, you did. We all did.
Thanks for subscribing to me. Oh, come on. Thanks for subscribing for McDonald's texts. I'm guessing that they're going
to
like...
Congratulations. You have your invite to 1010.
The person who runs the McDonald's account. And I can act, that's basically the same number. And it just like shared me his contact info if I wanted to. So I'm wondering if there's going to be something there. Like if you want to be the first to know. So this was actually
Face
back in
get catfished.
November 2nd of 2022 is when this person had sent out this text. So obviously they're using the same number, but I'm not sure if this is actually related.
Is that a 4826 or 4026?
He just texted again. Hi, it's me, the person who runs a McDonald's account. This is the place to get all the latest news and all things. McD. McD.
You have a new friend.
They don't even know how to capitalize a sentence. Jesus. But first, you should add me to your contacts real quick so we can be friends. Oh my God, what is... All right.
Is this like a McDonald's-based AI?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That's what it sounds like.
So
I'll
glad
keep,
you texted.
I'll keep, keep this number unblocked for you guys in the audience until 1010, and this is going straight in my reported dump.
He's gonna report McDonald's.
They're still texting me. Stop.
Of course they are.
I know, I just started too.
Can you tell me what time zone you're in? Reply
oh,
which
they
one
sent
is
me
on
a
your
contact card.
I'll be in touch soon.
Hey,
Eastern, you're... Central, Mountain, Pacific, Alaska, Hawaii.
If your doorbell rings right now, I'd be concerned.
I'll be right back. Be concerned. If Optimus showed up at my doorbell or at my door with a Big Mac in a bag, I would be crazy.
I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Would it be the worst.
Mark in chat is saying the Cyber McRib ?
Yes,
that'd be pretty funny.
It's a genius idea though, because then they're getting real world data experience of what it would be if they were carrying passengers without the risk.
Exactly. With somebody's Big Mac.
Yeah. It's like, oh, your Big Mac didn't get here on time. So what? Because it, you know, had an issue, but it's not going to be like, oh, I missed getting my flight because Optimus took a left turn, you know?
I know Will mentioned it probably last week, maybe the week before as well. But, you know, he threw out the ideas of the AI, of the Optimus and delivering food and all that. And that was kind of, at the time, initially, I was like, yeah, I mean, that sounds good, but I don't know if that's the route they're going to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this all but confirms, right?
I mean,
this
McDonald's, that's the biggest
exactly.
part you could have.
Exactly. So I think that's what it is. They're
start with make a single company.
Yeah. They're going to start with McDonald's. And I
make
think
it exclusive. Make
it's
it
genius.
So that it's a partnership type of a thing. And yeah, and it's McDonald's delivery. So, I mean, it's already something that's like, I mean – Let's be honest for a moment. Who gets McDonald's delivered?
No, I don't think I've ever had McDonald's delivered.
No,
but that's the
like it's not exactly. If it's a free delivery and a freaking Tesla robotaxi, I want my 20 McNuggets now.
Let's be real. I don't even think. I think they can charge delivery, and I think they could charge a lot because you know how many people are just going to want to see this.
I'm just going to do it for funsies, yeah.
But initially to roll out, have it just be a because you know a promotion will not stay locked to one company for like a year. It would be pointless. But to like maybe just do it through Christmas or do it long enough and like allow other companies to start joining in by Christmas. I mean, you know, that's a lot of optimists walking around neighborhoods. That's actually scary. That'd be so cool, though. Yeah, I like it.
See an optimist with like the little like McDonald's hat, just like a little McDonald's
He's
worker.
Like, da 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 da. I'm loving
funny
it.
Funny and sad at the same time because like McDonald's gets always the sad rap of like being like, okay, this is the minimum wage job, and then it's getting replaced with automation, and this is just another step, quite literally, to replacing it with robots. for real.
But yeah, but it's not a job being taken from anybody yet. It's one difference, but it definitely is encouraging things into that direction. So, I mean, you know, yeah, it was never going to be, you know, a nuclear blast. It would be the frog getting mm-hmm. boiled in the pot, and this may be the oven getting turned on.
Yeah, this is
and we're so excited. We're humans. We're like, it's going to kill us. It's awesome. Yeah,
yeah,
it's
great. You know,
as it's choking us, and we're like,
so exciting.
Recording it with our phone, huh?
Look at the movies.
Don't kill me until I send it out.
Honey, film it. Go on TikTok Live.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not going to lie. This makes it 1010 that much more exciting in my personal opinion.
Just agreed.
You know, just to see exactly what that's going
to
look like.
I don't mean to be a pessimist. I'm just somebody who's been watching Tesla very closely and owning their cars for like 7 years. And I'm telling you, the robotaxi event on 8-8 would have been a disaster if it was mm-hmm. entirely just left up to the idea of it was just going to be personal transportation.
Mm-hmm.
But this, I saw what it was, I'm like, that's just bigger. I don't know.
Do you think that's the reason why they delayed it? Do you think possibly were still working out the details with McDonald's?
I think
it was FSD with Cybertruck.
I think that there was FSD for Cybertruck, and I mean, it was just right there to be like, why don't we just push it back? We know we'll mm-hmm. have it for Cybertruck by October, and they're just like, okay, let's just push it back.
It made too much sense. Like 1010 is binary too. It's just like marketing team was like, they probably wanted 1010 initially, and someone was like, no, we got to have an 8-8. And then they got what they wanted.
Yeah. And
I'm not going to lie, I kind of wish that they didn't tease all this to where we're kind of connecting all the dots, because then doing the live, and I know Will already touched on it, that's the plan for next week, is we're going to mm-hmm. go live during the event, a little bit before the event to get ready for the event. And then as the event is happening, we can comment. And this is mm-hmm. all also, if I'm not at the event, right? I mean, I could even be there and doing live, and you guys, you know, we'll figure all those things out. We'll see. But
I'm going to make sure that we're streaming from my phone, because if I'm right about all this, I'm just going to go screaming through the streets. My neighbors are going to have me arrested. My wife will have to bail me out. It'll be a night. It'll be fun. Yeah, I just genuinely, even back in October, even until I saw those photos and just made that connection, I was like, I don't see how this robotaxi event's anything other than just like them showing something they have no way to deliver right now. And now they're literally delivery, you mm-hmm. know, of it. It's just, it got me excited. I was like, if I had any money right now, I'd be buying Tesla stock. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, what better way to put proof into the pudding with Optimus than this.
Exactly. It helps to validate two platforms at once, the robotaxi platform and 100%. Optimus, in just a simple simple job of pick up package from conveyance, walk to front door, drop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
and pose for the cameras, because you know everyone's going to have their phones out.
Yeah,
every delivery.
And the vandalism. Oh my god, there's going to be so much vandalism of this thing
once this goes live. Think about all what's going to fill up our feeds on X and IG and YouTube. Everything's going to be Optimus. Everyone's going to be filming Optimus delivering McDonald's at their front door. Mm-hmm. You know,
robot baby.
And it can even play a little jingle, like in a robot voice or whatever.
What happens if a bunch of punk kids try to fight it? Does it fight back?
That's the good question too, because I thought about this when we were talking about FSD originally, because it's like, what's to stop people from messing with the vehicles if they're just delivering
the cyber stuff? Guys are gonna fit it, you know,
they're gonna get it cyber stuck.
Yeah, they're gonna mess with it. They're gonna try to tie it up and hold it hostage, you know.
Will's got a new lung coming in.
Yeah,
well, the thing is, I think a good example of that is, I don't know if it probably hit LA like it did Austin, is when like the Lime and the Bird scooters like just dropped in the city. What was the first thing that people did was throw them in the river? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, it makes no sense, but people are just idiots. Like,
I wonder how that's going to all work, you know, because is someone going to try to pick it up and take it inside their house? Like, I wonder
and see,
how they're going to work all that out.
Optimus is going to like force choke him and then be like, no.
No, it's Elon and Mark Rober release a YouTube video about how this year's porch box thing is a little different, and it's Optimus, except the problem is when they try to take Optimus and like steal him, he doesn't just throw glitter at everyone, he cuts you in half. just, you know, like these like blades just come out of nowhere, just, you know, Resident Evil style. You just melt into the floor.
I just want actual fart spray to come out of his asshole.
Oh my god, yeah, that'd be so good.
Funny. Yeah, that would be
fantastic.
Well, it's going to be a fun episode next week, no matter where we're at. If Will and I are there, if I'm there, if Will's there, if we're all just where we're at now, doesn't matter. It's going to be fun to cover that next week. I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
They threw down the gauntlet. I'm excited. Like they've spent so much time. I'm sorry. They spent so much time dicking people around, selling it, but not addressing it, renaming it, all this stuff. I want to see them get up on a stage and be like, here's our path. Here's the things that we're doing right now with this technology. Here's how we're going to better it by doing it with this new service. I'll be like, hell yeah, that's what you do. That's what Tesla needs to do at this moment. We're post-Cybertruck world. There's no products that they've teased that they haven't in some way delivered to people or at least showcased an ongoing interest in. They have nothing new. And now is the perfect time for them to be like, all right, cool. Let's refocus.
It's definitely going to be a fun time. Moving on, Rivian. Tesla's not the only one that has some things up their sleeve. Rivian posted this late last week, as you can see.
Yeah, I won't get it.
Did it?
Yeah, mine's a Gen 1, so it doesn't have an addressable RGB light bar.
Yeah, but what's interesting about this is that soon after, it was... They had this announcement, and then a few days later, I believe 2 days ago, if I'm remembering correctly, they also announced like an incentive program to basically trade in Gen 1s for Gen 2. Yeah. They're offering like $3,500 off, essentially trading in for a new one, which is interesting. Like that was like, it was very tempting because I literally just got the vehicle like a week or a couple weeks ago. But no, I was like, I thought about it. I literally was like, I looked at it. But the thing is that we have a quad motor and we have a large battery. So it's like, if we would have traded in to the equivalent in a Gen 2 2024 or 2025, we'd be spending like 90s instead of 70s.
Yeah. And I think that's what you were trying to avoid, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So
keep it within the budget.
What's the range on yours, by the way?
In conserve mode, it's like, almost 340, like 338 or something like that.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, mine's 340.
Cool. And that makes sense because I also read that conserve mode is not ideal. Like you wouldn't want to do it like unless you really like have to, because it does extra wear on the front tires and the front motors. Because it basically, instead of using all four, it's only using the front two.
Mm. Hmm. Interesting.
That's interesting. So it sounds like my car does what your conserve mode does. Like I don't have modes for my R1S. It's like the base model. So it doesn't have that. Yeah. But I've watched the dynamics in the dynamic screen, and you can see power applied to the two motors. And my car definitely, you know, getting it above 20 miles an hour, it'll be all four wheels are delivering power. But then at some point, I'll watch the rear motor drop off and it'll just be the front wheels.
Totally.
Most of the time, I'm putting it in.
I usually put it in all purpose just to. And even all purpose, it's still over 300 miles. So,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I think Will has mentioned many times that it's fairly accurate, right?
It's super accurate. Honestly, I used to only do percentages with Tesla. With the Rivian, I'm like, this, I can drive it till it dies and know that it'll be as close as possible to that range that it offered me.
Because two things, it does a really good job of updating while you're driving. I've had it like, because of regen and all that, it's definitely kept it very true. But what I really like that I think Tesla should do, and it's kind of a no-brainer, is they should switch it based off of the driving mode and driving settings that you have it in. Uh-huh. And it does it live. So like, I can literally like, I can see only have 30 miles to them, I'm dead, and I can switch it over conserve and be like, nope, I've got 56. So it's like, you can see it change and what you're going to get. So like even in sport mode, I think it's only like 280 something, maybe 290. Just because it's sportier using full power.
I'm getting less than that right now with the setup I have. So
might be your tires. If I had to guess, because it's the tires for sure.
It's the bed rack and it's that damn tent on top of mine. So yeah, I'm getting killed.
Have you towed with that setup yet?
No. But FSD is out, so I got to do another tow video.
We didn't even, I think we just glossed over it, by the way, because we talked about how your truck got the bad thing last week, but you have it back now, correct?
I do. I got it back. I took it in. It happened last Tuesday. So was that the 24th. Okay, so it happened on the 24th. I received it back. It was completed and fixed on Sunday. So for all those people that wonder, Tesla service does work weekends.
They definitely do.
Yeah.
You may not be able to pick up your car or the service stuff, but they will work through the weekends here.
Yeah. So they allowed me to come on Sunday evening and I picked it up and now, you know, so far so good. I've heard of other people that once one goes out, the inverter goes out or the motor, whatever seems to be one or the other. It could the other motor. So if your rear, then possibly your front. I think Fury was in chat earlier, and I think he stated that his rear motor got disabled on his. So
it's crazy.
He says his front motor is dead and rear motor. Sounds like.
Excuse me.
So it sounds like he has both of them that went out on him. So sorry about that, Fury. But that's kind of where I'm at right now. Is like the rear inverter was replaced, and I'm now concerned that the front's going to happen at some point. So I hope not, but yeah, but I have it back right now, so that's good.
I'm much sooner than I was expecting. I was expecting to at least be like 2 weeks.
No, they did it quick. I was actually very, very happy and impressed that they were able to get me in, give me a loaner, and get it fixed. So Fury says he had 13,000 miles on his, and it seems like that's the magic number. I 100% agree with you, Fury. I had just hit 13,000 miles, and that happened. I've talked to, I think, two or three other Cybertruck owners, same thing, around that 13,000-mile mark, and then it happened. So anybody that's approaching that 13,000-mile mark, be aware of that it could possibly happen to you. That's kind of seems to be where... Mm-hmm. where it happens for people, unfortunately.
It might be worth just go getting it serviced, even if you especially if you haven't done your like 8,500 mile service for your tire rotation, go get it serviced if it's like over 10,000 anyways, just to see if they'll look at it, and they might even swap it already.
You would think so. I don't know if they will, but it doesn't hurt to go and ask. But that's kind of like the point I was making to the service center was, why not just be proactive and just do it? You know, at least look into it. I don't know if there's any way that they can see if it's going to happen. I don't know.
Right.
I doubt
it. Here's the big question. Did they charge you anything?
No. Everything was under warranty. The weird thing was that they didn't do any of the recalls.
Because there's like two, right?
Yeah, the wiper motor, and then what was the other one? There's something else. But the other one, I think, has
the adhesive something on the back cells.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I don't even think they can even do that because I have all that crap on the back of mine. So another thing that they did that I thought that was kind of never happened to me before. Obviously, I have all this stuff on it. They called me on Friday. So the truck sat there until Friday. And then on Friday morning, they called me and said, hey, we have the parts. We can start working on it, but we can't work on it until you sign a waiver. And I go, a waiver for what? Well, for all the aftermarket parts that you have. Okay. So they emailed me a waiver. I had to fill out all the aftermarket parts I have on the truck.
Like the rack?
The rack, the wheels,
the tires,
yes. The running boards, everything. I had to make a list of everything and then sign off that, you know, I guess they're not liable for any damage or whatever.
If it doesn't come back on the car and you're like, where'd it go? And they're like, right. you said you didn't have one, you know.
So I had to sign a waiver before they would even get working on it. So
interesting.
But it's weird because in that group that I'm in with other Cybertruck owners, there's other guys in there that don't have the racks, but they have running boards, they have aftermarket tires and wheels, and none of them have had to sign a waiver. So I don't know. I don't know why I was singled out. Fury says he had to sign a waiver as well. So.
Interesting.
But last thing before we wrap this one up is getting into the wrap of the week. And we have a special one this week inspired by Chase and Will, because we're no longer Keep On Cyber Trucking. We're Keep On Rivian Trucking, I guess.
River Rucking.
here is a custom wrap of
it's very well made.
It's yeah, it looks like dirt and mud, but it's a wrap, yeah. Guys. It's a wrap.
It's totally
wrap. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's mud. This gentleman, he got into a mess here with his Cybertruck and really got it real muddy. I don't even know what color his Rivian is, but
I think it's the green. I want to say, yeah, I think it might be the green, but still, like this, I saw the photos of this and I'm like, holy shit, that's insane. Like the amount of mud that has been caked into that.
Yeah.
And then just today, as soon as you get to you guys, what happened? So I think that might be the place it was parked at. Yeah. That's the house or his place or whatever it was.
He had it at his.
Yeah, it is green. There you go. So you know it's a quad motor because I think the only kind of green. But yeah, he had it at his house when you know the floods were coming in, and basically had to abandon it at the house. And apparently, this thing was swept away with the floodwaters and was carried like 150 feet away.
Yeah,
and then when they were able to return, that's when they found it. And I guess the story was that when they walked up to it, that the I don't know if you know with this Rivian, when the Rivian unlocks, the handles come out so you can open the door, but the handles popped out and they're like, it might actually be on still. So they open it up and lo and behold, it still works and still drives. It's crazy that it literally was like, I mean, because it was like floodwaters like over the top of the hood because the mud's all over it. So it literally was just, I guess, floating, if you will, in the floodwaters and still after all that is still drivable, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, no damage and no water didn't get inside, right?
No, the inside was clean from what he said.
It was just no, so that also goes to show you how well it's sealed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, it just the fact that it floated away 150 feet and you know able to drive it away.
Is this the time we can dig at the Cybertruck owners? Be like, yeah, Rivian doesn't need a Wade mode.
That's what I said to you.
It doesn't need that. It's fine.
It's interesting though. I mean, because on the flip side of this, and I was telling you this, Eric, like we were obviously the terrible tragedy of Hurricane Helene, right?
Yeah.
Helene. It came through and like devastated so many communities, and we even saw quite a few videos of like Teslas in people's like garage that literally like burst into flames because of the salt water.
Yeah.
And it was not even like over the wheel kind of salt water. So like it definitely a lot of EV owners, I'm sure, were even warned and figured that they're just going to leave their car outside of their house because it's going to catch fire or burst into flames and never have a car again. But here we go here. It salvaged itself, which is crazy.
Pretty wild, the fact that it's able to do that. So I'm happy for them. Their Rivian didn't get ruined, so that's great news. But that's pretty crazy that it traveled that far.
I wonder if the tonneau cover works. Because his bed was
open. I wonder if any of it works. They drove that away. It's like, that's incredible. I mean, yeah. Look at that thing.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Them in a few weeks.
Yeah, I definitely want to keep an eye out because I'm sure Rivian wants to get a hold of that too, just to get some data.
I'm sure. I wouldn't be surprised if they've reached out to him already.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're probably pissed that he cleaned it. They were like, "Oh my god, we need photos. We need to like unearth this, like archaeologists, like dusting it off, being like
investigator."
Yeah, and then use that in Rivian marketing for like the next year, being like, you know, here 100%. We are cleaning the hell out of this goddamn.
Literally,
truck,
what I tweeted today.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I got, guys. So I appreciate you guys. Next week, everybody, keep in mind, we're going to be doing it live on Thursday, October 10th. We're going to start because the event starts at what time again?
It's like it starts at 7 Pacific, I believe. The doors open at 5 Pacific.
Okay. But it doesn't start till 7?
I think remarks start at 7 as far as I remember.
So we'll probably figure it out. We'll talk, but we'll probably start around, I don't know, 6:30, 6:45, somewhere around there, just to kind of get ahead of it and then wait for the live broadcast. And then, you know, when it ends, we'll do a recap and then call it night. So it'll be a longer episode, I think, next week because of that. But I'm excited for it. So thank you, guys. Thank you to everybody in chat. Once again, we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks, so.
Bye.